Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. While you're turning there, a couple things. Number one, what did the turkey say to the hunter on Thanksgiving? Yeah, quack, 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 quack. Just thought I'd tell you that one. I thought it was cute. It was bad, but I like bad. I love bad jokes. While you're still turning there, Matthew 25, Luke 6:38 from last week says, "Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." We talked about that last week. If you didn't hear that message, I encourage you, it's easy to find. And it will be a blessing to you because there are people who have lack. And I told you last week how to fill the lack. So if you got a lack, last week was how to fill the lack. This week, I want to jump into something that's going to kind of come alongside of what we said last week. And I want to expand the concept of give, and it shall be given to you. And pressed down, shaken together, running over in abundance. I want to expand on that a little bit. One of the examples, by the way, that we talked about last week was, you know, friendships. If you are a giving friend, if you befriend people, you will be befriended. The more you befriend people, the more friends you're going to have. Not just because you were the one that stepped out, but because it will multiply. It will increase. And so we talked about increase and blessing last week, or blessing and increase. This week I want to talk to you about some of those same things, because friendship isn't the only area where you can give and it will be given to you. And we specifically said last week it's not all about money either. It's not about money. That's not what I want to get at all. But everything we talked about last week was along the line of sowing and reaping. So an interesting thing happened yesterday morning. I woke up a little early, and I had some things on my mind. And I thought, I better get these written down someplace. And it's, you know, it's dark. Lisa likes it really dark in the bedroom. She sleeps really good if it's really dark and really quiet. Some of you, how many of you know people that run fans? They have to have some white noise or whatever. That would never work for Miss Lisa. Got to be quiet, and it's got to be dark. And so I didn't want to wake her up, so I just got up and tried to sneak down the stairs. Yeah, she heard me anyway. And when I got down to the bottom of the stairs, I had to fight off two cats. In case you didn't know, we now have two cats. And I had to fight them off because the second you open the stair door, they want to run upstairs. I don't know what it's kind of like, because we don't want them up there. That's why they want to be there. By the way, I saw a thing this week, too. It showed a cat sitting on a map of a flat earth. And it said that, you know, there is proof that there's no flat earth, because if it was, the cats would have knocked everything off the edge by now. So it's just true. So I got down, I got a computer, and I started to jot some things down, just typing in thoughts as they were coming at me, and didn't have them in order or anything else, but I got them done. And as I mentioned earlier to you, I thought I was not speaking today. So I thought, well, this is a message for another time. Actually, I thought it was a message for next week. But no, the Lord was just making sure I had everything ready to go when I got a surprise phone call last evening saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to speak today, and it was Kurt. So God knew I was going to be speaking, and he took care of things. He got me all lined up. So are you in Matthew chapter 25? Look at verse 31. This is going to be an interesting text for what is going to be a message that I am calling increased thanksgiving. And you're going to think, well, what does this have to do with thanksgiving? I will show you briefly, but let's read the whole text to get some context. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it for the least of these my brethren, you did it for me. Everybody say, you did it for me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, depart, prepared for the devil and his angels. By the way, that's what the fire was prepared for. God didn't create hell because he wanted to find a bunch of people and throw them in there. He created an eternal place of separation from him for eternal beings that were before man. So he didn't create that thinking, one of these days I'm going to create a bunch of people and I'm going to send a bunch of them to hell. Never his idea. That wasn't what. So hell's not for you. Not where you belong. It's not where anybody belongs. Don't tell people to go there. It's not a good thing to do. All right. For I was hungry, verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And then they will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, the least of these, you did not do it to me. Say, you did not do it to me. Okay. There's an amazing principle in this overall parable, which I think may be more real than a parable. At least it will be someday. There's an amazing principle, and it's summed up in two verses, really. I read the context to you, but verse 40, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And verse 45, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. This has been on my mind for a lot of years, and I've talked about it a little bit before. And, you know, we link it sometimes to all these somewhat big things. How many of you know taking a stranger in is a big thing? I've done it a few times. It's kind of a big thing, taking in strangers. We had the big old house on Sherwood, and we took in a whole bunch of people. The Hacker Hotel. And we've done that before then, you know, over the years. Being a pastor, there's been times when people needed help, and, you know, you just... And the most recent one was a stupid cat that needed help and somehow ended up at our house. And then we got it a sister, so now they play together. At least they're not biting my ankle anymore. The one cat would attack me on a regular basis. I'd be walking through the house and he'd just jump on my ankle and start to chew on it. He wanted to play. He had a lot of energy. Now they take that energy out on each other. We think of these big things, feeding the poor and, you know, all these big things, and we aren't doing these things maybe, or we think we are doing them, or we want to do them, or we know we need to do them, and we're thinking, did I miss it? Did I miss an opportunity to do this unto Jesus? But what about the little things? And I had this specific thing jump on me, and I got to thinking about it. Because how we treat the least is how we treat God. How we treat the least is how we treat God. That's what God's saying. And that got me to thinking. What's the next big holiday coming? Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. How many of you would like to give God more thanks? Okay, didn't see every hand go up, so I'm assuming that some of you think you're already thankful enough. No, you just didn't. Yeah, how many of you know you're probably... I don't think I'm thankful enough. And some of you know, I have a thing in my pocket. My phone has this program on it that goes off about every hour during the day for about 9 hours a day. And I try to remember to thank God every time it goes off. I'm a thankful person. I like to thank God. And I find all sorts of things to be thankful for. I was doing it again this morning. I'm standing in a shower thinking, Solomon in all his glory never knew what this is like. He never got a shower as nice as this one. I got in my car today. And some of you know we got some newer vehicles. Our vehicles were over 10 years old. We decided to get some newer ones, low mileage. And my truck has a heated seat. And this is the first day when it really mattered. Yeah, buddy, toasted buns on the way to church. It was awesome. It was great. And it has a heated steering wheel. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking to myself, this is stupid good. Like, I don't need this. This is ridiculous. I didn't order it that way. That's the way it came. Just saying. Apparently, people like that stuff. And I didn't mind it. And I think of that all. I was thanking the Lord. How in the world did I get to live in this country? Thank you, Jesus. I am so stinking blessed. Beyond what I should have. Beyond what is right for me. I'm not getting what I deserve. I've gotten His mercy and His grace. His mercy is not giving me what I deserve. And His grace is giving me what I don't deserve. It's wonderful. But yet, I don't think I'm thankful enough. And it kind of hit me. What if thanking the least of these would be thanking Jesus? Have you ever thought about all of the thank yous that you give to other people actually bouncing off of them and going to Jesus? Whatever they do with that thank you, whether they receive it or don't receive it, it is absorbed into the atmosphere of the presence of God. And every time you thank someone, you might just be thanking Jesus. Wow. You know, there are so many people around us doing their jobs, doing what they have to do. That we could be thanking, that could be blessed by a thank you. So what if we just went out of here and started looking for opportunities to thank people? I don't know, maybe we could get a little clicker. We could put it in our pocket. See how many times a day we can thank somebody. I don't know, then it might become not real, you know, not really. But you don't also learn to give heartfelt thank yous without learning to just start doing it. Maybe it becomes more heartfelt if you really do it because you really want to thank people. Because it's on your heart that, you know, I should thank people. And, of course, I'm thanking Jesus when I do that. So who could we thank? Let's just throw some people at me. Who could you thank this week, maybe? Any ideas? Yeah, there you go. Make the people who work at the restaurants feel appreciated and thank them so that what they do is something that they want to show up and do. Otherwise, you won't have... How many of you know we've had a hard time keeping some restaurants open because there aren't people willing to do that work? And how many of you know that sometimes they have a reason not to be willing to do that work? Like, maybe they've been mistreated by some customers and now they've just got a bad attitude. They just want to... Just want to get it over with. They don't want to have to deal with you. What? Who else? Who else could we thank? Coworkers. Wow. What about that coworker that doesn't do anything? We're going to get to that. But yes, coworkers. Who else? Who else can we thank?
Retail.
What's that?
Retail.
Retail sale people? Yeah. All those people who are trying to wait on us. You know, sometimes they just... I remember, who was it was telling me the story? I remember somebody telling me a story about they were looking for something. I think it was Sonia. She was looking for something and she couldn't find it. And so she goes to the front of the retail desk and she says, "Do you have this?" And the guy goes, "Oh, yeah, we have that." And she goes, "Okay, where is it?" And he says, "Well, I can help you find it." He ends up going down all the same aisles that she did and finally reaches the last aisle. And he goes, "Yeah, right here. That's where it would be if we had it." And she's like, I looked for 15 minutes. And then he took me through the store for another 10 minutes. And we still didn't have it. I just wanted to kill him. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Who else? Can you think of somebody else to thank? Yeah. Pharmacy people. Thank your drug dealer. Come on. Right? Right? Who else?
Parents.
What? Yeah, you guys are way off from that. Way off. But you're teaching them, right? Please and thank you. Say please and thank you.
Or else.
Or else. Yeah. Parents. Wow.
Janitors.
What's that?
Janitors.
Yeah. Sometimes we think that, you know, it's a lowly job, but man, you know what? Have you ever, now, this is a hard one because you'll have a hard time seeing this happen, but have you ever gone into a gas station restroom that was actually clean and you were like shocked? Okay, get over the shock and go out and tell them, thank you for a clean restroom. That's one way to help them feel like it's a good idea. Instead of going and saying, your restroom's really crappy. Well, that was not the way to say it, was it? Your restroom's really dirty. You need to say thank you when you're doing well. There are all sorts of people that you can probably think of that we could say thank you to, people who service your vehicles and people who do different things for you. And you know, I don't think we can be overly thankful. I have learned that when I'm calling in with a problem, I start trying to find ways to thank the people I'm dealing with right up front, because the momentum of thank you is powerful. Give, and it shall be given to you. If I am a positive person, not grumpy, but if I'm grumpy right away, they're already backing away because they already know, oh, here we go. And by the way, most people who are on the other end of a phone line to give you customer service probably get 99.999% of their calls are grumpy, right? So I always try to say, what's your name again? And then say thank you to the person and say their name. I've been doing that a lot. And I'm finding that it's really interesting that they seem to be able to help me a lot more when I'm thankful. Just a thought. Maybe we could just kind of move back to that waitress idea, because some of us will go out to eat after church today, won't we? And by the way, do you know what's the best thing you can thank your waitress with? A tip. And FYI, in case you don't know it, but the waitresses have told me over the years, the worst crowd to wait on are the ones dressed up coming from church services. The worst. That really bums me out. They should be saying that the people coming out of church are the happiest, most encouraging, thankful people that they've ever met. And those people coming out of church should be thanking those people, because in as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to Jesus. And in as much as you haven't done it to the least of these, you haven't done it to him. This is really practical stuff, isn't it? Sorry, that's just the way I am. Maybe I could just pace a little bit. Ha! Come on. All right. But what if they're doing a lousy job? I kind of mentioned that a minute ago, didn't I? What if somebody is doing a lousy job? And that is a great question. Would you rather just complain about it, or would you rather help them do a better job? Complaining's easy. It is, isn't it? I can't believe how they... Well, yeah.
I had one waitress
who
was really nice, and she was cranky and didn't do a very good job, and I gave her a big tip and a couple times, and the next thing I know, she's my best friend.
Yeah, there you go. She had a waitress, in case they couldn't hear it online. She had a waitress, cranky a couple of times. She gave her a big tip both times, and the next thing you know, the waitress is her best friend. And she took better care of you, didn't she? She went out of her way to take care of you because she realized you were appreciative. What if we could, all of us, in every situation, lift people out of the place that they're in and bring them into a better place? And it wouldn't have to necessarily always be a tip. You're probably going to give a tip to your waitress anyway. What if you could add to that tip? What if you could multiply that tip so that it felt like way more, even though it wasn't necessarily that much more than anybody else was given to her? But somehow your tip was better than anybody's tip that came in that day. Anybody remember the words edification, exhortation, and comfort? Yeah, it's in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's talking about prophecy. Prophecy are words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. We talk about prophecy a lot in this church because we have a lot of prophetic ministry in this church. And we talk about a low-level prophecy, God loves you, to a high-level prophecy, their name, address, telephone number, and social security number. I don't get those very often, but I can get more than just God loves you to say to people sometimes. So maybe our giving of thanks could almost be prophetic in that it begins to lift them, edification, exhortation, and comfort, bring them into a place where they feel appreciated. And in so doing, we begin to lift them up. Lisa and I were in a restaurant the other night, and we were having some interesting conversation with the couple that we went with, but we were just so focused on each other and having a good time, but I kept looking over out of the corner of my eye, and this waitress kept coming to us, you know, and checking on things. And she was doing an admirable job, so it wasn't hard to be thankful. It wasn't hard to be appreciative. But pretty soon, the Lord began to speak to me about her. And I got to share a few things with her. And before I was done sharing, she was all teared up and really touched. And she was even a better waitress after that. But I didn't do it because I wanted her to be a better waitress. I just wanted to speak what the Lord was putting on my heart for her. And it just ministered to her. Maybe you don't feel like you can give that kind of a word to somebody, but you could thank the stuffings out of them. And it's hard sometimes. I get it. We were having this conversation, and it was like I had to pull myself away from the conversation. But what if when they fill your glass, you thank them? What if when they bring the food out, you thank them as well as thanking them? Calling people into their destiny with thanksgiving could be a powerful ministry that each one of us could do. Each one of us could do. Instead of griping and noticing the lack, what if we noticed what was being done, encouraged that, and it increased? Give, and it shall be given to you. I give them encouragement. They give me better service. You might see it actually happen right after church today if you went out to eat. It might actually happen to you. And remember, by the way, it's not Thanksgiving until it's Thanksgiven. Being thankful in your heart about how nicely you were treated is not Thanksgiving. I looked up the Greek word for Thanksgiving, the New Testament language word for Thanksgiving, and I found out that it's the word Eucharistia. Eucharistia. Does the word Eucharistia sound like anything you've ever heard of in your Christian life? The Eucharist. What's the Eucharist in some spiritual circles? It's communion. It's when we come thankfully to God, and that act of thanksgiving draws us into a relationship with God that blesses us and blesses those around us. What if every time we express genuine thanks, we are in effect creating an atmosphere an atmosphere that can cause people to experience what we're experiencing, and that is a relationship with God. Entering into a covenant with God, entering into the family of God. You want to bring them into the family? Make them feel appreciated. Now, a little side note here. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but with lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So we are supposed to consider others more important than ourselves. That means we might have to focus a minute on what they're doing. I go into stores all the time and I'm on a mission. I shop like a man. I do. I go in there, I know what I want, I get it, I leave the store, I get home, and I think of something I forgot. That's how I shop. My wife, you know, I'll go into the grocery store, and I will be there to get what I need to get. I know what I need to get. I want to get what I need to get, and then I want to get home, and then I get home and realize there was something else I probably could have gotten. My wife likes to shop where she goes up and down every aisle. And she sees things that we need that would have been forgotten. I don't do that. I just get in my truck and I go back to the store again. Not exactly smart. But sometimes, if I can not be that way, you know, be on a mission, I go into a store. If I can get off my mission just for a minute, I try to practice this really hard when I'm checking out. You know, I've got my stuff. Relax, go through, smile, call the person by name if they've got a name tag on, and just see what you can do to say something that might encourage them. What if God's army of people across the land all started doing that everywhere they go? Again, it's hard to do because I am like you. I get focused on things. I got a mission. I got a thing I got to accomplish. I got to get this. But God has something for me to do that I might not be thinking about. And all of a sudden, I'm in a position where I have an opportunity. And what a good idea to just bless somebody. And I've treated some of the clerks and the people at like Menards the other day. I was in there and I started talking to this young lady. We had a wonderful time. She was taking me around, helping me find things, and she was such a blessing. And I told her so. I said, "Thank you so much. This was great. I couldn't have found this without you." So when your waitress comes up to you and says, "Hi, I'm," gives her name, "I'll be your waitress today." I'm going to smile at her and say, "Hi, I'm Tim. I can tell that you're going to take care of me today. Thank you." What do you think she's going to do if I say, "I can tell you're going to take good care of me today. Thank you"? Do you think she's going to go out of her way to take care of me today? You think she already appreciates the thank you before she does anything? Smile real big at him, encourage him. And what have I done? I've done it to the least of these, so I have done it unto him. My praise, my thanksgiving, my appreciation of God rose to a new level because I wanted to bless people and say thank you. Give, and it shall be given you, can be manifest before your eyes, perhaps on a daily basis, by just thanking people around you, by just trying to remember to thank them. I don't thank my wife enough. She has put up with a lot. Me dragging her all over the country, moving a bunch of times, being in ministry when she wanted to be anything but a pastor's wife. Well, you did. You were hoping I would just be a Jesus-freak hippie singer. And then just keep my job so we could feed the kids. And instead, she's worked her backside off so we'd have extra. She really has. Most pastors, I know you might not know this because you see the rich ones on TV, but most pastors do okay, but most of them don't get rich off of being a pastor. Just saying. Not unhappy. The Lord's blessed us beyond what I can imagine. I'm thankful to him, and I'm thankful to him for a wonderful wife. Thank you, baby. What if it doesn't manifest? What if I do all that thank you thing and it doesn't show up? What if I don't get the response that I'm hoping for? Then by faith, have confidence that you did thank God. Even if the people around you are ingrates, all of them, he will not be ungrateful. He will recognize what you've done. You will reap if you sow in due season, and you'll be blessed. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, the least of these are sometimes the ones who are just the least of these. They really don't deserve it, but you did it anyway. They don't deserve it, but you went out of your way to be a blessing to them, even if they weren't being a blessing to you, even if they were cursing you. So, I want to give it to him all the time. I want to continue to grow in my level of thanksgiving until I am the most thankful person on the planet. This Thanksgiving, I want to encourage you to be the one to give thanksgiving. Amen? I want you to think for a moment with me. There's somebody that you haven't thanked enough. There's somebody today, before the sun goes down, that you can express your appreciation to. Somebody you can say thank you to. Yeah, some of you are already grinning and looking at each other right up here. They're too cute. They're just so cute. You know, you can do this today. You can call somebody that you haven't maybe had a chance to just express that to for a while. You just think about it. What if you got crazy today and called two? Oh, man, I tell you, the power of God's flowing in this place. I called two people. And said, thank you. See what I'm saying, though? Yeah. What God could begin to do from a message like this. So I'm going to pray over you right now. You don't have to put your hands anywhere. You can put them out if you want. Father, I just pray that there will be this overwhelming presence of your Spirit on our minds to help our minds come up with names of people we can thank. And I pray that as we go out from here, that there will be people who we will see. We don't know their names. Maybe we have to get a name off a badge, or maybe we have to ask. But they'll do something, Lord, that it seems like it's just normal, but we will thank them for it, and you will receive the thanksgiving as well. We just believe, God, that we can change atmospheres everywhere we go, and we can cause the kingdom of God to come rushing into gas stations and service places and retail outlets and all the things that we do, God. I pray that everywhere we will go, we will show the world what real thanksgiving looks like. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.